إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة النساء بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا. وقال جل وعلا كما ورد في سورة البقرة: حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I have been discussing the remedies of our ailments and weaknesses. We are now discussing salah as part of the third part of the remedy, al-amal al-salih, for those who are following the series. There are three parts to correcting our conditions: repenting and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah illa man taba wa amana wa amila salihan fa ulaika yadkhuluna al-jannata wa la yudlamuna shay'a. Tawbah, iman, and amal al-salih, repenting sincerely to renew the faith and to act on all the good and virtuous deeds. And we began the subject of al-amal al-salih with as-salah. As-salah is one of the most important acts of worship and of al-amal al-salih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, addressing the believers, said: يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَافْعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who believe, bow and prostrate and make ibadah to your Lord and do good to others, so you may be prosperous, so you may attain salvation and falah in the hereafter. So you see, ibadat have preceded ibadah in general. Our ibadah to Allah in terms of mu'amalat is useless if we don't perfect our ibadat. And the topmost ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salah, was-salatu imaduddin, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in many a hadith, that salah is the pillar that holds the deen. In continuation of my last khutbah, I will be talking about salah. Last time I talked about the importance of salah, and I shared with you this hadith, maybe some of you may recall, where the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, خَمْسُ صَلَوَاتٍ افْتَرَضَهُنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ وُضُوءَهُنَّ وَصَلَّاهُنَّ لِوَقْتِهِنَّ وَأَتَمَّ رُكُوعَهُنَّ وَخُشُوعَهُنَّ كَانَ لَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَهْدٌ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لَهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَهْدٌ إِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. This is an important hadith. We should pay attention to it and try our utmost to fulfill it. What it says is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made 5 daily prayers fard, compulsory upon the believers. Whoever perfects the wudu, makes wudu prior to praying, completely and perfectly, and prayed them on time. وَصَلَّهُنَّ لِوَقْتِهِنْ. No qada. You pray right at the appropriate times of those five daily prayers. وَأَتَمَّ رُكُوعَهُنَّ وَخُشُوعَهُنْ. And you fulfilled all the required movements in every rak'ah in terms of bowing and prostrating, and with full khushu', with full khushu', with humility and concentration, focusing on the salah. The Prophet said, that person has a promise from Allah. What is that promise? The promise is that he will forgive him. He will forgive his sins. أَيَّغْفِرَ لَهُ. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ. Whoever does not do that, if you don't fulfill what the Messenger of Allah advised us, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَهْدٍ. He has nothing with Allah. إِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ. If Allah wills, he will forgive that person. وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. And if Allah wills, he will punish that person. So why take the chance to either Allah forgives or punishes when you have a sure guarantee way for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? Last time I spoke on the subject, I talked about the wudu. مَنْ أَحْسَنَ وُضُوءَهُنَّ وَصَلَّهُنَّ لِوَقْتِهِنَّ. That has been covered. Whoever perfects the wudu and prays on time. And if you recall, just to recap, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَا وُضُوءَ لَهُ وَلَا وُضُوءَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَذْكُرِ اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. No salah is valid to anyone without wudu. Wudu is a prerequisite. It is an act of worship. It is ibadah. And we have to do that prior to praying. And there can be no wudu without mentioning or invoking the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Regarding praying on time or at their prescribed timings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear in His glorious book, in Surah An-Nisa, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. The salah had been made upon the believers to be offered on time. كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Allah set certain times to perform those five daily prayers. Now before I talk about وَأَتَمَّ رُكُوعَهُنَّ وَخُشُوعَهُنَّ, let me remind you about the importance of the niyyah and the intention. Everything we do depends on our intention. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. Surely all actions begin with intentions. And to every one is what he had intended for. Whatever we do, our intention is very important. Therefore, when we come to salah, what is our intention? So before I talk about the acts of salah, please make sure that your niyyah is to perform an act of worship. Salah is ibadah and not a ritual. Not a ritual. What do I mean by that? There's a world of difference between considering salah as ibadah or as a ritual. A ritual is something that you may feel that you are obliged to do. So I do it kind of what we say, رَفِعَ عَتَبٍ, meaning just so I don't get blamed for it. Your body might be there, but your personality may not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need your prayer. Rather, you need Allah to answer your prayer. This is very important. When we come to salah, we have to have the proper intention. I am here not to just stand and bow and perform those movements, but rather to perform an act of worship, to be in ibadah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as-salah, as you all know, is a prayer all by itself. We turn to Allah with utmost sincerity and with the purest of intentions. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. And stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with devotion. Feel like you are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Forget the world. Put the world behind you. And just relax. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to Bilal, يَا بِلَالُ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ أَرِحْنَا بِهَا أَرِحْنَا بِهَا. O Bilal, proclaim the iqamah. Go ahead, announce the iqamah and make us find comfort in it. أَرِحْنَا بِهَا. The whole idea of salah is to take time out of your busy schedule and relax. Every business, every corporation give you, by law, they have to give you 5-10 minutes break every hour or 2 hours. This is our break during the day, the 5 daily prayers. We stand before Allah to relax, not to rush through our salah, but to feel comfort, to feel content, so that when we are through with the salah, we have this good feeling within us inside. And that makes a lot of difference, as opposed to just coming, doing what you have to do, get it over with, and go back whatever you are doing. Therefore, we must have the right frame of mind. Number two, as I said earlier, the salah for men, for the males, is not acceptable at home if he lives in the vicinity of the masjid. لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لجار المسجد إلا في المسجد. No salah will be accepted from anyone who is living, residing near the masjid except in the masjid. Keep that in mind. Your salah may not be accepted if you are within a mile or two or three from the masjid. Transportation is readily available today. Please pay attention to this hadith. لا صلاة لجار المسجد إلا في المسجد. No salah to anyone who lives near the masjid except in the masjid. Maybe you cannot perform all the 5 daily salah at the masjid. However, Fajr and Isha, make sure that you perform them at the masjid. Again, لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى العشاء في جماعة فكأنما قام نصف الليل. Look at the virtue of praying at the masjid Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr. ومن صلى الصبح في جماعة فكأنما صلى الليل كله. Whoever prays Isha with the jama'ah in the masjid, it is as though he prayed half of the night. And whoever prays in the masjid, Salatul Fajr, Salatul Subh, in congregation, it is as though he stood the whole night in prayer. Now listen to this hadith in terms of feeling lazy to pray. عن أبي هريرة قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس صلاة أثقل على المنافقين من الفجر والعشاء ولو يعلمون ما فيهما لَأَتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبْوَى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, the most difficult prayers of the 5 daily prayers to bear, to observe, to perform for the hypocrites, the munafiqeen, are the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer or the Subh prayer. If only they knew what they are missing, they would come and haste, even if crawling on their knees. The virtue of Salatul Isha, as though you stood up half of the night in prayer, and Salatul Subh in congregation, as though you stood up the whole night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding the munafiqeen, He described them, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Don't be like those people whom Allah described as the hypocrites. When the hypocrites think to deceive Allah, but He is deceiving them in reality, when they stand up for prayer, they stand with laziness, showing themselves to the people and not remembering Allah except very little. Now the sisters are allowed, again I must emphasize here because I said it is incumbent upon the male of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to pray at the masjid. However, the sisters are allowed to come to the masjid, and they did go to the Prophet's masjid during his lifetime and prayed with him. And yes, there was no curtain between the men and the women. And yes, there were all in one hall or one room. However, times have changed, and perhaps one would notice that some masajid have a separate room for the sisters with a separate entrance. This is so to avoid fitna. When the Prophet had the women in his masjid, they used to go in from a separate entrance, and there was a shield between them and the men. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would begin the men's row from the front of the room, and the women's row from the very back, and in between them, children. So between the men and women were children as a shield between the two. Upon concluding the salah, he would not allow the men to leave their place until the last woman left the masjid. Can we apply this today? I think it would be a little difficult, and this is why we have those either curtains as separators or separate room for the sisters. However, they are allowed and they can come to the masjid and pray in the masjid. Number three, it is preferable that you go to the masjid mutawaddi ala wudu, make wudu at home and then come to the masjid. Number four, enter the masjid. This is the adab of going to pray at the masjid. Enter the masjid with your right foot while supplicating, Allahumma aftah li abwaba rahmatik. As a matter of fact, there's another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam ثُمَّ لَيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ افْتَحْ لِي أَبْوَابَ رَحْمَتِكَ فَإِذَا خَرَجَ فَلْيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ. When one enters the masjid, let him send first salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then say, Allahumma aftah li abwaba rahmatik. O Allah, open your gates of mercy for me. Remember, you are going in seeking His mercy and seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon leaving the masjid, also send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. O Allah, I ask of your bounty, a reward. Number five, observing the adhan. The adhan is an act of worship and it is a must before any congregational prayer. Usually the adhan is pronounced at the entry of each of the five prayers, five salawat. The adhan is the call to prayer. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال إنما كان الأذان على عهد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مرتين مرتين والإقامة مرة مرة غير أنه يقول قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما explained to us how they performed, how they did the adhan. He says during the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the adhan pronounced twice. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, until the end of the adhan. Whereas the Iqama pronounced only once. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, with the addition of Qad qamat as-salah, Qad qamat as-salah, prior to the last part of the Iqama. The Muaddin should say the Iqama. It is preferable that the person who pronounced or who said the Adhan to say the Iqama, because we have this hadith عن زياد بن الحارث الصدائي قال أمرني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن أؤذن في صلاة الفجر فأذنت فأراد بلال أن يقيم فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنَّ أَخَى صُدَائِ قَدْ أَذَّنَ فَهُوَ يُقِيمُ. Ziyad ibn al-Harith al-Sudai said, the Messenger of Allah ordered me to say the adhan for Salatul Fajr. So I did. And then Bilal came, wanted to do the iqama. The Messenger of Allah then told Bilal, your brother Suda had made the adhan, he will make the iqama. So it is preferable that the muadhin himself proclaims the iqama. Number 6, do not pray or engage in any activity while the adhan is being called. What should the people do while the adhan is going on? Oftentimes you find people talking or reading or making dhikr. We should be repeating with the caller to prayer. We have this hadith, عن عبد الله بن عمر أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا سمعتم المؤذن فقولوا مثل ما يقول ثم صلوا عليه فإنه من صلى عليه صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشرة ثم سلوا للوسيلة فإنها منزلة في الجنة لا تنبغي إلا لعبد من عباد الله وأرجو أن أكون أنا هو ومن سأل للوسيلة حلت عليه الشفاعة. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever you hear the muadhin, the caller to prayer, proclaiming, saying the adhan, repeat after him as he is saying the adhan. Upon concluding the adhan, send salutations upon me. For whoever sends peace and blessings upon me, Allah will send peace and blessings on him 10 times. Not only that, after the adhan, سَلُوا لِلْوَسِيلَ, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the wasila to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a place, فَإِنَّهَا مَنْزِلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. It is a place in the paradise in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to none except for one person of all the human beings from Adam until the very last man. And he said, I want to be that person. And whoever prays for me to be that person, حَلَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّفَاعَةِ, he will have my intercession on the day of judgment. So one should repeat with the caller to prayer, word for word, except when he says, حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ. We say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. No might and no power except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Salatul Fajr, we have the additional wordings, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, Salah is better than sleep, and we respond by saying, Sadaqta wa bararta, indeed you have spoken the truth, that Salah is better than sleeping. For the iqama, when the muadhin says, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةُ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, when he used to hear the iqama, he would say, أَقَامَهَا اللَّهُ وَأَدَامَهَا, Allah had established this prayer, and may Allah keeps it forever, established forever. And the dua, you know the dua for the al-wasila, اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة, آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وابعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. The translation is, and of the prayer which is going to be established, kindly give Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the right of intercession and send him on the day of judgment to the best and the highest place in paradise which you promised him. And then the intercession will be permitted for that person on the day of judgment. Now one should supplicate between the adhan and the qama, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the supplication between the adhan and the iqama is not rejected. So take advantage of that. We have so many opportunities to seek the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of them, one of the places where your dua is mustajab, inshaAllah. Number 6, before commencing the salah, the lines must be straight and the musalleen should stand straight. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam often would say, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سووا صفوفكم فإن تسوية الصفوف من تمام الصلاة. سووا, make your line straight. من تسوية, صفوف, ranks. Make your ranks, your lines straight, because straightening up the rows is part of completing the صلاة. من تمام الصلاة, from perfecting the صلاة. Then you have this other hadith, إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا قام إلى الصلاة أخذ بيمينه ثم التفت فقال اعتدلوا سووا صفوفكم. ثم أخذه بيساره فقال اعتدلوا سووا صفوفكم. He would look to the right before he begins the salah and to the left, and he will say اعتدلوا, stand straight, وسووا صفوفكم, and make your lines straight. That's not the only criteria. Gaps between the musallin have to be closed. لقوله أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دس ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال أقيموا الصفوف, make your lines, وحاذوا بين المناكب, and let your shoulders touch each other, وسدوا الخلل, close all the gaps between you, ولينوا بأيدي إخوانكم, ولا تذروا فرجات للشيطان, ومن وصل صفا وصله الله, ومن قطع صفا قطعه الله. If you keep those lines and the gaps open, it's a chance for shaitan to enter between the ranks and take us away from the straight path. The Prophet would say, stand straight, shoulder to shoulder, close all the gaps, don't keep any gaps open so that shaitan can enter. Whoever joins a saf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join him. And whoever severs or keeps a rank open, قطعه الله, Allah will cut off relations with him. Number 7. The prayer will commence when the imam says, Allahu Akbar. The way to perform takbiratul ihram is to say Allahu Akbar while raising the hands near one's shoulders and next to the sides of one's face. Now the Hanafi school of thought, they raise their hands behind their ears. Nothing is wrong with that. This is called takbiratul ihram. Both are correct, do not create any fitna or problems. Those who are from this school of thought, that's fine. Those who are from other schools of thought, like Imam Shafi'i, who just raised their hands near their shoulders, by their faces, that is okay as well. This is called takbiratul ihram. When you say Allahu Akbar, you entered hurmatus salah. What does that mean? It means that now it is forbidden for you to do what otherwise is lawful for you during the duration of the salah. You cannot eat, you cannot drink, you cannot talk, no wandering, no daydreaming, no entertaining of shaitan, etc. Until you conclude the salah, then you can resume to your daily activities or other activities. Takbiratul ihram, Allahu Akbar, is a rukun of arkan as-salah. It is a rukun. What does rukun means? A rukun is a compulsory act in order for the ibadah to be accepted. Without it, the act of worship is null and void and invalid. One should always begin with takbiratul ihram. It is a rukun with the ulama al-jumhur, and it is a condition, a shart with Imam Abu Hanifa. Either way, it is compulsory and we have to open with takbiratul ihram. Then we open with dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha, she said, "Kana idha istaftaha as-salah qala subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk." Whenever the Prophet would begin his salah, he would begin with this dua: "Glory be to you, O Allah, and all praises are due unto you, and blessed is your name, and high is your majesty, and none is worthy of worship but you." Of course, there are other dua. إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا مسلما وما أنا من المشركين إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. I turn my face towards the one who created the heavens and the earth, upright, Muslim, and I am not of the polytheists. Surely my salah, my sacrifice, my life and my death is to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, has no partners, and for this I have been commanded, and I am the first of the believers. So this is in terms of the dua. After that, we begin with أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, and then بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We have to say that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانَ الرَّجِيمِ لِقَوْلِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Whenever you recite the Qur'an, you begin with أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And that was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he used to enter into his salah, he would say Allahu Akbar, And then he would say, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. I seek refuge with Allah, the one who hears everything, who knows everything, from the accursed Satan. We then recite Surah Al-Fatiha. During the Jahr Salah, the Shafi'i school of thought, they recite Bismillah, Bismillah Rahman Rahim aloud, while the Ahnaf recite it silently. This is because of the difference of opinion between the Shawafi' and the Ahnaf regarding the Bismillah Rahman Rahim. According to the Shawafi', they consider Bismillah Rahman Rahim as an ayah of the seven ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. Whereas Imam Abu Hanifa does not consider Bismillah Rahman Rahim as an ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. So there's a difference of opinion. And both opinions are valid and both opinions are okay. So if you hear an imam reciting Bismillah Rahman Rahim, then you will come to know he is from the Shafi'i school of thought perhaps. Upon concluding Surah Al-Fatiha for the Salah Al-Jahriya, for the Salah that you pray, you say out loud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever you conclude with waladdallin, say ameen. And ameen means istajib lana, means respond to us, O Allah, because Surah Al-Fatiha is a prayer all by itself, and we have evidence from some ahadith that the Prophet used to say it out loud, not very loud, but moderately loud. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد, according to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب, no salah to anyone who does not open up the salah, the prayer, with Surah Al-Fatiha, بفاتحة الكتاب. It will not be accepted. We add to Surah Al-Fatiha, for the two rak'at of every salah, a small surah or an ayah equivalent to the size of three ayat, for example. Maybe Ayatul Kursi, that's sufficient. Now let's come to the ruku' and the sujood. Let's pay attention to the wordings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَأَتَمَّ رُكُوعَهُنَّ وَخُشُوعَهُنَّ. If you want that Allah will have a ahd with you, that He will forgive you, fulfill this. وَأَتَمَّ رُكُوعَهُنَّ وَخُشُوعَهُنَّ. Perfect the ruku' and be in a state of khushu'. What is meant by ruku' here is both ruku' and sujood. As for ruku', one must bend, bow before Allah Almighty until his upper body is perpendicular to his lower body at the waist. Don't increase nor decrease. Oftentimes you see individuals either overdo it, so much so that their heads are almost touching the ground, or one has hardly bent. We have a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, نَهَا عَنْ ثَلَاثَ عَنْ نَقْرَةِ الْغُرَابِ وَافْتِرَاشِ السُّبْعِ وَأَنْ يُوَطِّنَ الرَّجُلُ الْمُقَامَ لِلصَّلَاةِ كَمَا يُوَطِّنُ الْبَعِيرِ. The Prophet forbade three things. A crow's peck, implying making the sajda very hurriedly, and the sitting of the beast, expanding of forearms like beasts, and man's earmarking for himself a particular place in the masjid, as does the camel. Regarding between the ruku' and sujood, the Prophet said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينظر الله عز وجل إلى صلاة عبد لا يقيم فيها صلبه بين ركوعها وسجودها. The Prophet said that Allah will not look at the servant's salah with appreciation in which the back is not straight between the ruku' and sujood. This last hadith, let me just share with you, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed Ali radiyallahu anhu and said, Ya Ali, uhibbu laka ma uhibbu li nafsi wa akrahu laka ma akrahu li nafsi. La tuq'i bayna as-sajdatayn. He says, O Ali, I love for you what I love for myself, and I hate and dislike for you what I dislike for myself. He said, don't sit on your heels raised between the two prostrations. Most of these things you are already familiar with. I think we just don't pay attention to these important acts Perfect your salah. Don't be in a hurry. Be with full khushu'ah. Khushu'ah with absolute humility. Let your inner personality come out before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Feel that this little ana, as Allama Iqbal said, is standing before this big ana. Innani anallah. La ilaha illa ana. Fa'budni wa aqim as-salata li dhikri. It is surely me, Allah. This is the big ana. There is no God. None is worthy of worship and obedience besides me. فَعْبُدْنِي Make ibadah to me and stand up for salah to remember me. So may Allah give us the proper intention and whatever it takes to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are praying, so we may reap all the benefits and rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك وارحمنا برحمتك الواسعة يا أرحم الراحمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وأقم الصلاة.